Us to order. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming in. It's good to see you. We're going to start this morning. We are very privileged to have with us Dr. Augie Grant, who is the chair of the Columbia Faculty Senate. Last time I think you were with us, Augie, was 2 years ago when you were the incoming chair. Yep. And we thought it would be nice to hear from Augie again. So please welcome Dr. Grant.
Thank you. Should know better, hold off the applause till I say something you think is important. I just might be here to give you a huge idea and take away all your money. Actually, that's not the goal. It is a privilege to be here for a couple of reasons. I have spent the last 2 years chairing the USC Faculty Senate, and we've had a number of initiatives that I want to share with you, but I want to start out by talking about an initiative that's going on system-wide that affects all of us, and that is an initiative to increase the interaction among faculty across the campuses. One of the things that became apparent to me during my first year was that we have not just one campus, but 8 vibrant campuses, and part of the challenge of being here on the Columbia campus is you tend to be a little bit cloistered. You tend to think Columbia is the whole world. And one of the great things about having a seat with the Board of Trustees, about interacting regularly with your chancellors and with your faculty leadership, was finding out what's going on at the other campuses, what the programs are, who you serve, and how your work and the work here in Columbia interfaces to make us all stronger. To that end, we've had a number of initiatives that are designed to help bring us closer together. Wednesday of this week, for example, all of the faculty senate chairs, we were only missing two, I think, because of travel issues, met at USC Aiken and spent the day talking about interests that we all have in common, ways that we can collaborate. For example, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is there is a seat on the Board of Trustees, Academic Affairs, and Faculty Liaison Committee reserved for the regional campuses. And it rotates among the 3 senior campuses, first Upstate, then Aiken, then Beaufort. And one of the challenges is that nobody had been keeping track, so that person had not been showing up. So we have taken pains to make sure that representation is there. And I realize that doesn't directly affect you, but you're even more directly affected because of your proximity to Columbia. The Columbia campus faculty senate chair is always on that committee. So anytime you have an issue that needs to come before the board, you can always contact me or my successor, Marco Valtorta, who is from our College of Engineering and Computing. He'll take over August 16th of this year. In meeting, one of our goals was not just to sit around and say, what can we do? We wanted to have a few specific things that could help. And in the discussions, one issue became clear that in the regional campuses, especially the Palmetto College campuses, there can be difficulty in accessing library resources. Specifically, not every electronic journal is available to every faculty. So at that meeting, the chairs passed a resolution that we have since delivered to the president, the provost, and the dean of libraries, asking specifically that whenever possible, any journal subscription for USC include all of the system campuses. And the resolution specifically emphasized the importance of electronic access to these journals. Now, this doesn't guarantee that it's going to take place, but the goal, and we've had discussions with Dean McNally on this before, but the goal as always is raise the salience. So when there is a negotiation, when people are talking, we can see what are the resources that can be provided system-wide. And we want to make sure people on this campus are doing that as well as possible. Second initiative we started this year, I'm a big fan, probably too big, of Stephen Colbert. I enjoyed all of his work when he did the tongue-in-cheek Colbert Report. I've enjoyed him on CBS lately, but one of the features he had was something he called Better Know a District, where he would invite a representative from a congressional district in and have a conversation that actually gave you some insight. Now, with 435 congressional districts, he wasn't able to complete it. But in that spirit, I said, you know, I want my own little thing called Better Know a Campus. So what I did starting in September was invited the leadership of each of the regional campuses, including both the two-year and senior campuses, to come in one at a time to the Columbia Faculty Senate meeting and tell the Columbia Faculty Senate, here's who we are, here's what we do, here's what people at our campus do. So we started out, appreciate Henny being the first presenting for Sumter. We then had presentations for Upstate. We lost our October meeting. It's 2 years in a row weather hit us in October. And we're a little worried because last year we lost October, not last year, in 2015 we lost October to the floods, and then February was a tornado that literally during the Faculty Senate meeting time, the whole thing, campus shut down because a tornado was coming through. So we lost October again, this time for the hurricane. So I'm looking forward to see, can we make it through spring term without that? But if we make it through, we have successfully entertained Aiken already, and we have Beaufort scheduled for the March meeting, which means we still have Lancaster, Salkehatchee, and the extended campus. But the goal is a simple one. My colleagues here on the Columbia campus are not as aware of the regional campuses as they should be. So we're trying to increase the awareness and the salience. In doing that, I need to turn this back on you a little, though. We are not going to be successful in collaboration unless there's something we can collaborate with you on. So I want to encourage you, where you see opportunities, whether they relate to issues in faculty governance, or where they relate to your research, where they relate to your teaching, maybe IT resources, if there's any place you see an opportunity to work more closely together, please, either through your leadership, through us, find a way to contact somebody here in Columbia so we can do more. The idea is that we are going to be stronger as a system if we're more aware of what we do and we're more aware to take advantage of the synergies. So again, that's our effort on the Columbia side. And again, I welcome any efforts on your side. Our single biggest effort that we have had this year is an effort to improve the quality of work for our non-tenure track faculty. And in this, I have to confess, we're playing catch up with the Palmetto College. Currently, the USC Columbia Faculty Manual specifies that voting faculty are limited to tenure track faculty. 2 years ago, we did a study, a survey of all of our non-tenure track faculty to look at satisfaction, participation, many elements as we could find because we knew there were issues. What we found was that there was a heavy degree of dissatisfaction among contingent faculty. And when we broke it down, we found the biggest predictor was not having voting rights. So there was a committee that was constituted out of the Columbia faculty for tenure track faculty, for non-tenure track faculty who worked for a year to study what other universities were doing, and they came out with a set of five recommendations. Some of them are common sense. Non-tenure track faculty should also be eligible for teaching awards. We should have more 3 and 5 year contracts for non-tenure track faculty. Everyone should not be on a 1 year contract. There should be opportunities for promotion for non-tenure track faculty as well. But the big one was extending voting rights. So The Faculty Welfare Committee and the Faculty Advisory Committee here in Columbia have been working to craft the exact language. We had a debate on the motion at our February meeting. We'll actually have a vote, and if that's successful, all full-time faculty on USC will have a say in faculty governance, which again helps us catch up with where you are. We do have looked at the best practice, and we believe the best practice is extending voting rights wherever possible, and we appreciate the model. So that's the big thing going on here in Columbia. The other thing that we have pushed through in the last 2 years is creation of a Faculty Senate IT Committee. There are so many ad hoc committees being set up to address IT-related issues, ranging from computer security, the software we're required to put on our computers, the configuration of the networks, etc. And also there was a need for high performance computing resources on this campus. We created an ad hoc IT committee to handle most of these issues, but also pushed through, finally got it through last June, creation of a permanent committee to address the IT needs. And I want to stress that that committee is currently made up of faculty from the Columbia campus because it's a committee of our Faculty Senate. But given the degree of interaction, we need to find more ways to share what we're doing. For example, the single biggest initiative coming out of that is the High Performance Computing Initiative. Anyone who has to deal with huge computing needs, and we're talking about data files that are in the petabytes, we need a resource on campus to do first the storage and then to do the analysis. The provost office is giving some money, vice president for research is giving some money, and we've got a little bit of specially dedicated money. The bottom line is we are putting together this resource. It should be available within a year. There's going to be a symposium in April for anyone working with high performance computing. The exact date hasn't been determined. They're still trying to decide whether it should be on Good Friday, which I think is the 14th, or the 21st, which is Discovery Day here. It's conflict no matter where you put it. But the bottom line, you or your colleagues have need of those resources. Those resources are coming on, and the goal is not to have one researcher have access to them, but to make these resources available as widely as possible to assist in research and productive scholarship. So that's a victory. Another small thing that concerns only a small number of you, but all of you might be interested in, we have an open budget process that every year when they start putting the budgets together, and we all know there's no budget that's official till after the legislature tells us how much money we have. And if we're lucky, we find that out sometime in June. Sometimes we find it in July. Yes, Susan is grimacing. I think, was it in 2015, we found out July 15th? It was incredible. But we actually start putting the budgets together in January. And there are a series of meetings. Each unit meets with the provost to say, here is what we need. And the faculty are invited to those meetings here. Then each campus has a meeting with the president. And up until 2 years ago, the Columbia Faculty Senate Chair was invited to be the faculty representative at those meetings. And at a certain point, President Pastidi said, this is a little ridiculous. If we're having a meeting about the budget at Union, it should be the chair of the faculty at Union attending. Similarly for all of the regional campuses. So that change was made last year. So if you are a representative, you should look forward to the invitation to attend that presentation. If you don't get it, please contact the president's office and say, I want to make sure that those meetings usually take place in April. But again, the goal on the part of the administration is to be as transparent as possible and through the faculty governance process to let the faculty know, here's what's going on, here's what we're developing, here's where the university is headed. Now, to that end, I want to end with a couple of real quick remarks. Where is the system headed? We know that we have a goal of enrollment growth. A lot of people around the country snicker when they hear that because universities around the country are contracting, not growing. But that's not the case here. University campuses of South Carolina, it's not uniform. Some of the regional campuses have more growth than others. But across the system, we have had steady growth. This year, Columbia was a flat year, but again, they're looking to build by a few hundred more freshman students in September or in August when the students come. That also means a growth in faculty and a reallocation of resources. To help us reach the goals, you probably, if you've been reading the newspapers, have seen the word of a bond bill. Now, we like having a bond bill which allows us to build new buildings. Some of you who have had at the campuses new facilities. I saw some new dorms at Aiken earlier this week. You know the importance of the financing in order to build the facilities. If you happen to run into a legislator, please emphasize that this is a long-term resource that helps us build the whole system, which builds the whole state. The prospects look good right now, but you need to know anything is iffy. The one thing I haven't heard any mention of, and it's the thing most important to us, is whether there's going to be any kind of raise this year. I'm not optimistic because it's not an election year, but we are very fortunate that our new governor, Governor McMaster, has consistently been a supporter of higher education, and we are triply blessed. So, supporter of higher education with a bachelor's degree from USC and his law degree from USC. So we have that strong link. Let's take advantage. But as you run into legislators yourself, it doesn't hurt to talk about how important our role is and how we help in economic development by making sure there's a trained workforce available. I will tell you the Board of Trustees held their annual retreat 2 weeks ago here in Columbia. The goal of the retreat was to do long-term planning. And they had a special guest, David Seaton, the CEO of Fluor, volunteered to attend the retreat, gave up 2 days of his own time, came at his own expense, and talked to the trustees about what he thinks is needed in the next generation. And the administrators, I'll be real frank because there are no real administrators in the room. Susan, you'll close your ears for a second. Yeah. They were nervous. I had no less than 3 people come up to me and say, "Now, when anyone makes a motion, make sure you emphasize you can't change curriculum without going through the faculty governance process." They were quite concerned, very simply, that there might be an initiative where someone gets a great idea and in 24 hours they're going to change everything we're doing. Well, the good news is that didn't happen. Instead, Mr. Seaton stood before the board and I watched the room, seeing nods and yes and talking to people afterwards. He said, "We need 2 things more from the students who are graduating." He said, "They need to be more prepared for critical thinking." And he said, "And their communication skills, especially their writing skills, need to be improved." On the technical skills, he said, "We can train anyone to do the technical work. But what we can't train anybody is how to think, how to analyze, how to be problem solvers." And that was music to my ears. You know, whenever my students complain that I give too many writing assignments, and I give a lot, I've got a better comeback than I've ever had. But I want you to take heart in that too, that all of our efforts at focusing on critical thinking, at focusing on communication, this is what our employers here in South Carolina are looking for. And you need to know, we are getting exceptional support from the business community I mean, you're in the new Darla Moore School. You know the what Darla Moore has done to fund this building. You also know that Boeing and Darla Moore have helped fund our new aerospace initiative. You know that Fluor is putting money in, and David actually led the capital campaign that raised $1 billion for the university system. So we've got the support of the industry, and what they want us to do is more of what we're already doing. So I took great heart in that. All right, so where are we going? The number one thing you need to know is President Pastides has a vision for the future of the universities that includes a greater emphasis on health and health sciences. He sees the biggest area of economic growth over the next 30 years in South Carolina being in the health sector. And this is related not only to having an aging population, it's related to changes in how health is going to be provided. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act, although the whole repeal has been, it's now repeal and replace or repair. It's going to be an R word, whatever it is. But the point is there's an emphasis, there's a lot of, not only a lot of money, but there's going to be a lot of jobs. To that end, you may have read in the newspapers that the university is looking to build a new campus for the USC School of Medicine. When that happens, there's also an expectation that some of the science units will move from this campus to that campus. That'll still be in Columbia. But the point is, that is the trajectory. So on your campuses, as you look at programs to grow, whether you're looking at nursing programs, at any kind of pre-med, or anything biological, health-related, you need to know that is an emphasis of the president right now. That's not to say that he's ignoring engineering or ignoring the liberal arts or, for God's sakes, ignoring journalism. My area, we do need to keep in mind that there is a master plan right now, and that's part of the master plan. I want to wrap up by asking for more. We need more ways to collaborate. It was interesting. I sent a note to the president and the provost early this week saying, I'm going over to this meeting of all the faculty senate chairs. What is there anything you want us to do? And I got a note back from the provost that just emphasized two words, collaboration and communication. They want all of us to know that we are part of a system, that we have each other to rely on, that we have opportunities to work together. And we stand ready here in Columbia to do what we can to facilitate that. If you have ideas, there's something you want to pursue, please let us know, and we'll do our best to follow up. So that's all I have to say. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If I don't know an answer, I can either be like Colbert and make it up, or I can be like Kellyanne Conway and... Are there any questions? Yes. Yes.
In what form?
I don't know. There are two ways that the changes take place. The first way is through the budget process. So you have to make sure that on your campus that whoever is preparing the budget has in their budget money for that. I will tell you what we did. We were in a similar circumstance. And by the way, you're going to find out a lot of times when I get questions like this and you're looking for somebody to come do something for you, my answer is going to be, here's what you can do. We had the issue in journalism where we were trying to teach broadcast journalism with equipment that was 20 years old. And we saw an opportunity to institute a small fee on students in the broadcast journalism sequence. That gave us discretionary money, and that was used to buy new equipment. And within 3 years, we had, not state of the art, but we were only 3 years behind the field. So I would definitely look at your budget system to see, first, is it an item in the budget? Second, and you can ask that question, and your administrators should tell you that. But second, if it's not in the budget, then say, is this an option? I realize we don't want to put too much burden on our students, that we always have to be mindful that one of the biggest challenges we have is student debt. On the other hand, within our system, student fees are a way for units to get discretionary money that can be used for updates. So I'd say look at those two. Yes?
And even both USC Santa. Do you know if there are any funds designated in the bond bill for that particular purpose?
I do not know. From what I've seen, the bond bill varies in size. I mean, there is a specific bond bill, and everybody wants a piece of it. What the USC piece will be, I don't know, but this is where your own internal lobbying has to come. If that is your priority, some money, I'm guessing, you know, it's got to be allocated according to where the biggest needs are. But I would encourage, if you have a specific need, don't hesitate to send a note to the president and say, you know, as you're negotiating for the bond bill, please don't forget this.
We do know that USC Sumter is under a capital campaign right now, and Irene can elaborate a little more. But I was mostly thinking if Columbia can help us with equipment while the campus is doing the building part, it would be a good win-win.
When you say help you with equipment, I hear two things there. I hear one, have our faculty give equipment, or two, I hear taking money from our budget to buy equipment.
I would not go into, you know, specifics at this point.
Okay, have you talked?
I guess it's for the big bosses to decide.
No, but have you talked with your colleagues?
If you help, it would be, you know, bringing the campus to 2016 from 1960s.
Yes, no, I agree that we need to do that. Have you talked with your colleagues here in Columbia to see if there's anything they have to offer? Because there are times we upgrade things and then we have to send equipment to surplus. If they don't know what you're looking for, there may be something you need sitting in surplus simply because they don't know. So just letting them know, or maybe the best thing, invite someone from Columbia to come over and give a talk. When they're giving a talk, give a tour and ask them, what do you have? Open that conversation, but make sure it's both ways.
I've done that with the chemistry department for the past 6 years. So my wish list with what I have, and I've done research on this campus, so I know there are rooms with equipment that nobody is caring for, nobody is using. 6 years.
And
I'm still
you...
using equipment that was made before I was even born, so.
Okay, so...
It's the chemistry department. Maybe in biology it worked better.
Again, send an email to Lacey Ford. He's the new dean in arts and sciences. Be explicit that you've come over for 6 years, that there may be an underused resource that you would use. Just open a door. It may not be successful, but it's 10 minutes, and Lacey sees the big picture. So give him a chance. Yes?
You're looking at having instructors count towards representation at Senate. We have a lot more instructors than tenure track on the regional campuses. This has a much bigger impact on our Senate representation than I assume it does at most departments at Columbia. I know at Lancaster, right now we have 3 Senate seats. We're barely able to get 2 people interested in attending. The proposed change would up us to 6 or 7 senators that we're just not actually probably going to be using those seats. Has anyone looked at this?
Yeah, we're looking, the next thing that we're going to look at is changing the ratio. Because the actual number of Senate seats we have right now is 140. With the change, we would go up to about 190. And the question is, instead of being 1 senator for every 10 faculty, should it be 1 for every 15? So that is being examined. Yeah, no, that's a real good point. You've got the whole idea of having the Senate is to have a group that's small enough to be able to debate, discuss issues.
So. There's also the matter of I've been at my campus for 10 years. We don't elect non-tenure track people to positions like that. Adding instructor representation is just not going to trickle down on our campus, for what that's worth.
Okay. I can see that. And again, our big goal here, we have many instructors, senior instructors, who've been here 10 to 20 years. They teach four courses a term. They know the curriculum intimately. We have assistant professors who have been here 2 or 3 years who teach one undergrad course a term. And yet the untenured assistant professor should have more of a voice than that instructor in curriculum. You know, the goal, try and find not only the equity, which is the key thing for me, but find the balance that's best for the university.
I don't know if it's a thing you've been studying, but if the goal is to increase instructor representation, you might want to watch after the change happens and see if instructors are actually getting elected to the
We that is definitely something we'll be studying. Yes?
I'm David Dangerfield from the Salkehatchee campus. I want to thank you for lobbying for us to get electronic access to journals through the library. Can you elaborate a little bit more about where that stands with Dean McNally and our prospects for making that happen?
Yes. Let me back up. We have been lobbying quietly Dean McNally for a couple of years on the subject. The primary issue is cost. And obviously most of the journals come from for-profit companies that define a university by campus. So the goal is, whenever possible, change University of South Carolina to University of South Carolina campuses in the contracts and the negotiation. And they've been successful with some. So the first issue was to raise the salience. But the second issue, and I'll be real blunt about this, there's got to be a little money, more money put toward it. But you are all not the regional colleges, the regional technical schools. We are universities. We have the opportunity to produce scholarship, both research scholarship and creative scholarship, and we've got to provide the tools for that to happen. And we've got to make sure, and I will say, as a member of this faculty since 96, when I first came here, we didn't have any access to journals in my field. There's a whole EBSCO list called the Communication List that's about 100 journals that the library didn't get. And the library didn't get it until we got a group of faculty together. The subscription was $5,000 a year. And what we did as a faculty was we put together $1,000 that's going to come out of our graduate enhancement fee, $1,000 would come from our director, another $1,000 would come from our travel funds. I mean, we found a way to cobble together $5,000, and then we went and said, we're going to pay for it ourselves because we need it. At that point, a little light bulb clicked on in the head of the dean of libraries that, oh, yeah, maybe journalism needs journals too. I say that because quite often the Palmetto College campuses are seen as a place where you only teach. And I know that's not true. You know that's not true, but we've got to give the relevance and give the tools. So the more productive you are, the more you share your successes, the more salient this whole issue will be with the Dean of Libraries and filtering up through the budget process. But we're trying to make as much noise from the faculty end as we can. The other thing is the back door. There's a journal article you need and you can't get it, but you have a contact here on Columbia. You know, they're your collaborators. Contact your collaborator and say, I need this journal article. Can you help me? So, that's not as good. The best solution is for you to have access to everything, but we're working on that. Yes.
Rebecca Freeman from Lancaster. To touch on that, I'm actually one of the librarians, not at Columbia, but to talk about, it does come down to expense for a lot of it, because most of these journal articles or journal databases are based on FTEs. So we are charged, and it goes up every year. So when you have an article or database that you need, please come to the librarians and tell us, because sometimes we just don't know that you need it. Also be aware that if you do teach any classes through Palmetto colleges, specifically on through Columbia, you have access to all of Columbia's materials, okay? In addition, for the Palmetto colleges, the libraries for the two-year institutions are working together to try to make sure that we have access to databases that you need, and we're able to get it through a collaboration that way. But if there is something you need, just please let us know.
Thank you. And by the way, you and your cohort do a heck of a job making things available. I use the resources all the time. Again, an underutilized resource across campuses. Thank you. All right, if there's nothing else, I want to thank you. Let me give you my email address. It's the easiest one, not the easiest, but it's an easy one. Just Augie, A-U-G-I-E, at sc.edu. If there's ever anything I can do for you, please let me know. But I thank you, and I hope you have a successful and productive day.